up? Welcome to the Parenting Point Blank podcast. I am your host, Parker Pass, and I am thrilled that you joined us today. On this show, we'll talk all things parenting teens, how much we love them, and dear God, how they drive me nuts as of all the crazy things they do. Before we dive in, make sure to hit the like, subscribe, and follow button. That does a world of magic in terms of getting us some recognition on the internet. I am a parent and educator over a decade in schools as a teacher and an administrator focused on behavior and culture in schools, working with students who had big challenges. And I have seen the way that these different challenges, both in the environment as well as with the behavior of the kids themselves, have radically reshaped the relationship that parents have with kids. So my goal is to share a little bit of my experiences so that you can build a better relationship with your kids. Today's topic is going to focus in on technology and how we can use technology in our lives, but also limit its impact. So today, nearly every kid above the age of 10, and I might even say even above the age of 8, an adult, has a phone and a tablet and a computer, or all three, or multiple of one or the other. And so we have this endless entertainment that we carry around in our pockets from the time that we are young children all the way up into our adult years. Most boys have spent hours and hours and hours playing video games, and many girls are connected to some kind of social media where they get feedback on their looks and appearance from very young, impressionable ages. Today's world is radically different from when we were kids or our parents were kids. And so often as parents, we don't even have anybody to go to ask, hey, mom, how did you handle this when such and such happened? Because our parents never had technology and never parented us with technology that is as powerful as what our kids have today. The biggest difference really being that when we were kids, the PlayStation or the Xbox or the Nintendo couldn't travel with us without really kind of being a huge encumbrance. Maybe if you had a long trip and you happened to have a small, giant TV, if for those of you remember the TVs that were real heavy and had a big box on the back, in the back of the car or the van or whatever, that might be the only time, and it was very rare that the TV went with you. It by and large stayed at home on the living room TV or maybe in your bedroom TV, but when you were out, you were present and interacted with other people. Today, if you go to any restaurant, I guarantee you, you will see a family or a group of young people who are sitting there and they're not talking to each other. They're on their phone. Maybe the kid is on the tablet and they're eating and eating out at what's supposed to be a fun and interactive time, and they are sitting in dead silence, 6 feet apart and 6,000 miles in a whole different world apart. This is not the world that humans are designed to thrive in. The way that technology has taken over our lives and the way that we are using it is really doing a lot of harm to our relationships with our kids. Now, does that mean that we're going to go throw all the phones out the window? I don't think that that is a reasonable explanation and option for most people. We use our phones for work. I know many people who can't get around the city that they grew up in now without a phone to navigate them. We use it to price check. We use it to shop. It is our go-to tool for most things that we do on the internet. But I think we can have a little bit of sense on what to do with this. So with that, here are a couple of the ground rules that my family establishes with our kids. And this is what I recommend to parents at school when they're having issues with screen time taking up so much of their kids' lives. One, you've got to establish as a parent some phone-free times. Maybe this is meals, when guests are over, and playgrounds. Hey, go play and interact with kids. Throw rocks at the tree. Your kids are creative. They will find things to do that don't involve a screen. When we zap all their creativity by keeping them connected to that screen, that's when they actually lose that ability to think imaginatively. After you give them free playtime, whether that's at a park, in a wooded area near your house, in the courtyard at the apartments, they will find things to do to entertain themselves that are very much like kids playing. The next thing I always recommend is connect with like-minded families in your area and set play dates. It is very hard to be the only family that goes to an event and doesn't have their phones out. We see this in our advertising and media. We see this when we go out and everybody's on their phone. It is very hard to be the one who stands out. So don't be one who stands out. Get a group. Get a gang. The other thing that I really recommend for parents to do is use parental control features or apps. If you have an iPhone and you're in the Apple universe, then this is pretty much built into the settings of the phone. And you can set up screen time and limit time use. So maybe you say no phone after 9 p.m. and it shuts down all of the uses of the phone outside of like calling 911 after 9 p.m. You use that to limit access to adult content and limit the contacts or apps that they can download. Are these things perfect? No. And is this the only thing that you should do? Absolutely not. If you're going to take away their connection to the outside world, you have to backfill that connection with something else. Ideally, that's going to be a connection with you over mealtimes or over play dates, whether that's with you or with other friends. But if you simply take away the phone and don't give them something else to do instead, you're going to be fighting a battle that you are ultimately doomed to lose. My last rule is no screens in bedrooms. And this may be one of the more controversial stances I have, but I will stand by this. Put the Xbox, put the PlayStation, the Nintendo, whatever it is, on the living room TV and collect the phone before bedtime. Oh, and side note, parenthetical here, set a bedtime for your kids. If you do not, they will stay up to all hours of the night because there's no structure and that's not good for them. Going back to the TV or the phone, learn to share the TV and learn to set limits so that you're not just mindlessly gazing at a screen 24/7, 365 and losing and missing out on life that is actually happening around you. We actually do this in my house, and yes, it does sometimes create some fights when my teenager wants to play PlayStation and my wife and I want to watch a movie. And this helps teach our kids patience because sometimes they say, hey, we're going to go to bed before you do. This is a weekend, so we'll let you stay up a little bit later. So we're going to watch this movie, and when we're done, you can play PlayStation. So we've both practiced sharing. It's not just a, no, you can't do this. I'm going to actually step in as a parent and practice what I'm asking my son to do. If you are constantly telling your kids to do something and you're not doing that thing, you're a hypocrite and your kids know it. And it makes it harder for them to actually do the things that you ask them to do because why would they? Going back to the phone, take it away at 8:30, 9 o'clock, whatever's appropriate for your kid. They cannot withstand the temptation that is notifications of a cell phone during the night. Humans are by nature social creatures, and so we go to bed, and depending on how your house and space is set up, many kids may have their own bedroom, and so they are all alone, which is actually kind of a strange thing. For thousands of years, humans have always slept close with family. Regardless, I'm not saying you change your sleeping habits, but as far as the phone goes, if that phone or tablet or anything access to the internet is in the room, it will find its way into the bed, and it will find its way into eating the sleep hours that your kid desperately needs to grow and to learn and thrive academically. We saw this all and see this all the time at school. We have kids that come in and they are exhausted and they're not athletes. So, you know, they didn't have a basketball game that they were up late and then had to get home and do homework or whatever. They come in and they're just dead tired and it's like 8:30 in the morning. And hey, are you okay? What's going on? And they say, I didn't sleep well. I'm like, oh, you didn't sleep well. Did you have a nightmare? Was the neighbor noisy next door? You know, what's going on? And they're like, no. And so we started digging into this conversation a little bit more with these kids. And they would finally come out and say, well, I was on Instagram or I was on Snapchat or I was on TikTok all night. And as adults, you're like, you weren't tired? It's like, you know, I was, but I was on TikTok. And you know, the way that it's designed to keep you scrolling. That is how TikTok and Facebook and Instagram make their money. It's free to you and me as a user, but they are selling our information to companies for advertising. So help your kid out. Take away the phone so that they don't have to compete with social media and TikTok and these powerful companies that invest hundreds of millions of dollars in algorithms to keep you on their platform. Keeping on the platform is what makes them money. And if they can make money off of you at 1 a.m, they will do it. Now that we have mentioned a little bit about ad revenue and social media and that kind of thing, do not sell your kids on the internet. What do I mean by that? Get them off of social media. Until they are 16 or older, social media is not designed for our children. We think that we have given our kids access to the world through these devices. It is actually the opposite. We have given the world access to our kids. The crazy things that are out there on the internet that our kids will stumble onto because it's interesting. It hooks their attention. It's a little bit outside of what they know to be what we as parents accept. And so next thing you know, they're watching an ISIS terrorist beheading video. And you're like, wait, I thought you were talking to your friends about soccer camp. These things start incredibly innocent and build into something that is way more dangerous and insidious. We've done a lot of research as a science body around social media and use, particularly with our girls, and they're coming out more and more finding that any girl, particularly younger women, who are looking for any kind of dieting or healthy eating or physical fitness kinds of videos, particularly on TikTok, within 3 to 4 weeks will begin to see videos on anorexia and bulimia as potential solutions for losing weight. Wait. Within a couple of weeks, my daughter is going to be seeing bulimia as a possible solution for losing weight, even though she's a twig and probably could have used to put on some weight. That is absolutely absurd. This is the kind of thing that we have to protect our kids from. And younger kids, particularly that 10 to 14, 15 age range, they're not ready to make those kinds of judgment calls and understand, is this good for me? Because their brain is so focused on, is this interesting? Is it fun? And are my friends doing it? When they hit that 16, 17 range is when they start being able to make more of those judgment calls around, this may not be the best thing for me. Especially without guidance, your younger kids are in huge danger of falling into those kinds of traps. The other wild thing, particularly around social media, is how addictive these technologies are. And yes, it's not a drug in the same way that alcohol and tobacco and marijuana are drugs. And we know that those cause harm to kids. However, the research shows likes on social media activate the same dopamine hits that cocaine does in the brain. It follows the exact same pathways. We wouldn't set cocaine in the middle of our table and say, here, kids, have some. That would be wild. You would go to jail because you're a terrible parent if you do that. But social media has become normal and is accepted. And no one thinks about the impact that this is having on our kids' brains. Not to mention the social impact. One of the things that we see all the time in school is all the drama generated around social media use. Things that would have never been a problem when I was a kid because we didn't have social media. If there was a kid bothering me at school, when I went home, that kid was no longer bothering me. And so I was fine. I was able to get over it, let it go. Because there was very little technology, I didn't get a basic phone until I was about 15 or 16. I had learned skills to actually interact with kids around me, and we sorted out our differences. We didn't necessarily always need an adult to intervene for us and tell us how to treat one another. Kids today don't get that same kind of practice and interaction, And so there's all of these adults intervening in their lives all the time to try and save them from themselves. When in reality, what we as the adults need to do is take away the phones and let the kids figure out their lives themselves. Now, does that mean that you're going to never talk to your kid? No, absolutely not. But in terms of problems with friends, take the phones away and put the friends together. We see this constantly at school, with some kind of insult on social media becomes a big issue that blows up into a fight at school. And then now kids are suspended or kicked out of school, and so they're missing education, time, and spending a lot of school resources on a bunch of paperwork that is unnecessary, when really all that would needed to be done to solve this problem was put the kids together, put the phones away. Because now, when someone picks on this kid at school, she goes home and they pick on her on social media. And she becomes the laughingstock at school, because it's not just the kid and the bully and the bully's friends that know. It's everyone and kids at other schools, and they can add on to the same pain. Social media is not for your kids unless they are 16 or above. You're putting your kids at risk if you're allowing them to be on social media so young, if you're not setting clear boundaries with phones. All right, to wrap us up, in this episode, we talked about phone-free times for your family, intentionally working to connect with other like-minded families to spend time together, absolutely no screens in the bedroom, particularly at bedtime. Take them all away, get them all out, learn to share, and let your kids actually sleep. And then we wrapped up with the dangers of social media for kids under 16. In our next episode, we're going to be looking at, so we took the phones away, now what? How do we connect with our kids? So stay tuned and come back next week for another episode of Parenting Point Blank.